ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं
चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नश्च प्रयेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैस्तिके। सो वी आर ऑन टेक्स्ट 37, Canto 2, Cosmic Manifestation, Chapter 9, Text 37. Etan matan samatishta paramena samadina bhavan kalpa vikalpeshu na vimhuyati karhiche. Translation, O Brahma, just follow this conclusion. By fixed concentration of mind and no pride will disturb you, neither in the partial nor in the final devastation. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, it's not up yet? Okay, that's fine. So, the Lord personally is advising Brahma. He's saying, as Prabhupada writes there, he's advising Brahma not to become deviated. And to focus on what the Lord has just taught him. And Prabhupada in the purport writes, misinterpretation of the word aham by the word jugglery of the impersonalists should not disturb the mind of the strict followers of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because a lot of times they use the word aham to mean impersonal views, whereas the aham here actually is a the personal view, the I'm the person, Krishna is saying, whereas the impersonalist twists this word aham to mean everything. So therefore, a few lines down, Prabhupada says, therefore the Lord wants Brahma and through Brahma all future devotees of the Lord in the disciplic succession of Brahma, that one should never be misled by the conclusion of the so-called grammarians or by other men with a poor fund of knowledge, but must always fix the mind properly via the parampara system. Because a lot of people give different opinions in these four verses, based on these four verses. So Prabhupada says, by the parampara system, we should follow whatever teachings we have through the Guru Parampara. But Prabhupada is taught, for us, the main thing is Prabhupada's teaching. Just take from Prabhupada, and that's all we need. We don't need to use our brain to think, oh, this, that, nothing. Prabhupada has made it very clear. Okay. So in the same way, We should accept authorities in the Guru Parampara also. Now, a few more lines down, Prabhupada says, without personal service, one would go on speculating like the impersonalists. That means, if we don't see an example, we will speculate how to do things. So Prabhupada is is telling that the guru also must set good example. Okay? So the guru sets example, the disciple learns, oh, this is how it should be done. Not any other way. So it's very important the guru sets good examples and we set good examples and others follow us also. So therefore, without personal service, so we need to also do service, personal service to authorities, to gurus, like that. One would go on speculating like the impersonalists and dry speculators life after life and would be unable to reach the final conclusion. Which is a fact. Unless somebody knows about Krishna, and someone who doesn't know Krishna, only the person who knows Krishna can give you the answer how to get to Krishna. Those who haven't got that knowledge, they cannot give you. It'll be just speculating. Why don't you try this one? Oh, it doesn't work, try the other one, like that. So then Prabhupada says, by following the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master in conjunction with the principles of revealed scriptures, the student will rise to the plane of complete knowledge, which will be exhibited by development of detachment from the world of sense gratification. So, if a student is becoming good in this process, one of the symptoms is he will become detached from sense gratification. He should be detached from sense gratification. Generally, people think you cannot become detached from sense gratification. In general, people don't have that belief. So, if we are doing it, they think we are cheating somehow. How can you control your senses? So
I cannot control
myself. How someone else can control? Because I can't do it, so why? And so, that's how people see. Now, when we can control the senses properly, Prabhupada says that is a stage called Brahma-Bhuta stage. Actually, what is Brahma-Bhuta stage? Means you can control this, all the senses. You're no more depending on the senses for your gratification. That is Brahma-Bhuta stage. And that is actually the stage where, the first beginning stage. No? And Prabhupada also says, the Brahma-Bhuta stage of life is also known as the Atma-Rama stage. That means you are self-satisfied. In which one is fully satisfied and does not hanker for the world of sense gratification. Self-satisfied. Atmaram. Like. So, controlling sense is very important for us. We should try our best because that will allow us to understand deeper meaning in this, in Srimad Bhagavatam. Hmm?
Like
detached
from sensory world, but that means that is the platform for devotional service.
Yeah, everything is a platform, means you can do
anything. But Atma doesn't give entry to devotional service, right?
No, you have to do bhakti always. Atma Rama stage means they are self satisfied. A devotee can be Atma Rama also, a pure devotee is also Atma Rama. Transcendentalists can be in Atma Rama stage also, but they may not necessarily be a devotee. So in the next paragraph, Prabhupada says, in this stage of full satisfaction and detachment from the sensory world, one can know the mystery of the science of God with all its confidential intricacies. That is why it's important to practice sense control. Otherwise, you can read Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita for many, many years or lifetime, but we will not be able to get the blessings. That is our penance, to control senses and so on, and practice it steadily. So in the next paragraph, Prabhupada says, in the Gopala Thapani Upanishad, Shruti, it is said, Gopavesho me purushaha purastad avirbhabhuva. The Lord appeared before Brahma as a cowherd, a cowboy. That is, as the original personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, Govinda, who is later described by Brahmaji in his Brahma Samhita. So here you can see, this this person who's talking to Brahma is Krishna himself. Okay? Prabhupada is actually explaining that. And then in the last paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Lord Krishna, and not directly Narayana or the Purusha avatars, which are subsequent manifestations. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam means consciousness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam is a sound representation of the Lord as much as the Bhagavad Gita is. Thus, the conclusion is that Srimad Bhagavatam is a science of the Lord in which the Lord and His abode are perfectly realized. Okay? That is a nice conclusion. Text 38. Sri Shuka Vacha.
Sri Shuka Vacha.
Sampradishyaivam Vajano.
Sampradishyaivam Vajano.
Jananam Paramestinam.
Jananam Paramestinam.
Pasyatastasya Tadrupam.
Pasyatastasya Tadrupam.
Atmano Nyaru Naddari.
Atmano Nyaru Naddari.
Translation, Sukadeva Goswami said to Maharaj Parikshit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, after being seen in his transcendental form instructing Brahmaji, the leader of the living entities, disappeared. So after he just left, disappeared, went back to his abode. Now in the Purport, Prabhupada mentions the word ajanaha. Ajanaha. Okay? He is Ajanaha, or the Supreme Person. Amongst Jananam means amongst people. He is Ajanaha. All living entities are individual persons, and amongst all such persons, Lord Hari is Supreme. So that is, again, the personalism is been enforced here by Srila Prabhupada. Text 39. Antarhitendriyartaya
Haraye
Vihitanjali
Sarvabhutamayo Vishwam
Sasa Jedam Sapurvava. On the disappearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who is the object of transcendental enjoyment for the senses of devotees, Brahma with folded hands began to recreate the universe full with living entities as it was previously. So means Brahma, previously this creation has been done, so he is doing the same thing again. Yeah. In the
middle of the day.
I don't know. It could be a new Brahma also, or it could be the same Brahma. It would indicate it's the same Brahma, because early on he says he remembers when he tells Narada. Alright, so in the second paragraph, or third paragraph, Prabhupada says originally he's trying to describe how the context of the living entity in this material world, why they are here. So he's saying, originally, the senses of the living entity were awarded for this purpose, namely, to engage them in the transcendental loving service of the Lord or that of His devotees. So we are meant to use our senses for the pleasure of the Lord and His devotees, not for ourselves. But the conditioned souls, illusioned by the material energy, became captivated by material enjoyment, sense enjoyment. So that's our position. We want to enjoy the senses. Therefore, the whole process of God consciousness is meant to rectify the conditional activities of the senses and to re-engage them in the direct service of the Lord. Lord Brahma thus engaged his senses in the Lord by recreating the conditioned living entities to act in the recreated universe. Because this universe is destroyed and then created again, destroyed and created, over and over again. It goes on for as long as forever. You know, as long as there are living entities who want to enjoy, the universe will be created, material universe, and then annihilated, created, annihilated, until it will never end actually, because there's always going to be some living entities who will want to enjoy themselves separately. Then a few lines down, Prabhupada says, the normal stage of engaging the senses in the service of the Lord, instead of doing so, that is converting the actions of the senses, the impersonalists began to make the conditioned souls senseless. And the Lord also senseless. So the impersonalists, they deny everything, right? They say, we don't, everything is false, no sense, no eyes, nothing. Even the Lord is senseless. He is impersonal. Then Prabhupada says, that is improper treatment for the conditioned souls. The diseased condition of the senses may be treated by curing the defect, but not uprooting the senses altogether. We have senses, not that we deny that we don't have senses. When there is some disease in the eyes may be cured to see properly. Plucking out the eyes is no treatment. Okay, so Prabhupada is very, very straight about this. Text 40. Prajapatir dharmapatir ekadaniyamanyaman badram prajanam anvichan atistat swartakam yaya. Thus, once upon a time, the forefather of living entities and the father of religiousness, Lord Brahma, situated himself in acts of regulative principles, desiring self-interest for the welfare of all living entities. In the purport, Prabhupada says, one cannot be situated in an exalted position like Brahma without having undertaken a regulative life of rules and regulations. An unrestricted life of sense gratification is animal life. And Lord Brahma, in order to teach all concerned within the jurisdiction of his generations, taught the same principles of sense control for executing higher duties. Again, Prabhupada is emphasizing sense control. So for us also, to do pure devotional service, we must first control our senses. We shouldn't take it for granted.
That's
right. Few lines down, Prabhupada says, on the other hand, one who is not a devotee of the Lord, however qualified he may be in the mundane sense of the term, cannot be qualified with any good quality worthy of the name. Okay, so basically, you can be expert in anything immaterially, but if you are not connected to Krishna, it's useless. Okay. And so, if you want to help other people see Krishna, we must also follow properly. Otherwise, we can't teach someone when we ourselves are not following. So, sense control is something we all should do, and so we should teach others the same thing for their benefit also. And you can only understand Krishna after you control your senses. It's not going to be easy otherwise. Okay. Text 41. Tam Narada Priyatamo Rikta Danam Anuvrataha Shushushamana Shilena Prasrayena Damena Cha. Translation: Narada, the most dear of the inheritor sons of Brahma, always ready to serve his father, strictly follows the instruction of his father by his mannerly behavior, meekness, and sense control. Here you can see sense control. Text 42. Mayam vividishan Vishnur.
Mayam vividishan Vishnur.
Mayeshasya
Mahamuni.
Mahabhagavato Rajan. Pitaram Paryatoshayan. Narada very much pleased his father and desired to know all about the energies of Vishnu, the master of all energies, for Narada was the greatest of all sages and greatest of all devotees, O king. And in the translation, Rikta Danam. So Rikta means inheritance. Rikta Dana means son. Okay. That means the son who inherits the wealth of his father. So Brahma has within all the knowledge, Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, everything. So that's part of his wealth also. So Daksha and others, they are more in favor of Karma Yoga. So you find Daksha was pretty good with the sacrifices and all those things. And the Kumaras, it is said that they also, it's said like that, that they obtained Jnana Yoga from Brahma like that. But Narada obtained Bhakti Yoga. Actually, Narada is considered an incarnation of Bhakti Shakti. Yeah. So, and he is also very devoted to Brahma. And so when Brahma told him, please explain to others, so he took it seriously. So in the purport, in the last paragraph, Prabhupada said, the Supreme Lord is unlimited and his energies are also unlimited. No one can know them completely. Okay, so we can't understand the Lord completely. Brahmaji, being the greatest living entity within this universe and being directly instructed by the Lord, must know more than anyone within this universe. And then Prabhupada qualifies that. Although such knowledge may not be complete. So he knows more than us. But still his knowledge is not complete because the Lord is
unlimited.
Yes. Then Prabhupada says, thus it is the duty of everyone to ask about the unlimited Lord from the spiritual master in the disciplic succession of Brahma, which descends from Narada to Vyasa, from Vyasa to Sukadeva, and so on. So this is how we try to learn. Okay, we don't speculate, read from Prabhupada's books and question. And sometimes we may have difficulty understanding because we are not qualified. But we try, and then later on we get the knowledge by the mercy of the Guru and the Krishna. Text 43. Tustam nishamya pitaram.
Tustam nishamya pitaram.
Lokanam prapitamaham.
Lokanam prapitamaham.
Deva rishi paripapracha. Bhavanyan Manu Prichati. The great sage Narada also inquired in detail from his father, Brahma, the great grandfather of all the universe, after seeing him well satisfied. In the purport, Prabhupada says, the process of understanding spiritual or transcendental knowledge from the realized person is not exactly like asking an ordinary question from the schoolmaster. It's not like you're going to school and studying. This process is you serve, inquire, humbly, without fighting. In school you can do all that. You can shout and ask the teacher. I mean, nowadays it has become like that. In the old days there was more respect and so on. But it has changed now. So there should be surrender, there should be question, and there should be service after that. You can see Narada asked the question in the surrender, humble mood, and now he is going to serve by going around and preaching. So that's how transcendental knowledge is. It's not like a business transaction. I pay you $40, you give me some mantra and I'm good now. Text 44. Tasma idam bhagavatam puranam dasha lakshanam praktam bhagavata praha prita putraya bhutakrit. Thereupon, the supplementary Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, which was described by the personality of Godhead and which contains 10 characteristics, was told with satisfaction by the father, Brahma, to his son, Narada. So then from the four verses, he explains to Narada. So in the Purport, Prabhupada says, although the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in four verses, it had 10 characteristics which will be explained in the next chapter. So I have heard that this 10 characteristics is only found in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Mahapuranas, not in any other Purana. Some Purana may have some of these characteristics, but not all 10. Maybe they have 3 of it or 4 or 5, but not all 10. Only the Bhagavad Purana has all 10. Therefore, it is considered the best of the Puranas. So, a few lines down, Prabhupada says, one should not misunderstand by wrong interpretations that the Lord spoke only 4 verses and that therefore all the rest of the 17,994 verses are useless. Because people will think like that. The 10 characteristics, as will be explained in the next chapter, require so many verses just to explain them properly. Now you know why it's expanded. And then he talks about how this is instructed from Brahma to Narada all the way down to Vishwanath Chakravarti. Then Prabhupada says, we are just trying to follow in the footsteps of all these authorities. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is not like ordinary fiction or mundane literature. It is unlimited in strength, and however one may expand it according to one's own ability, Bhagavatam still cannot be finished by such expansion. Because the Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam, being the sound representation of the Lord, is simultaneously explained in 4 verses and in 4 billion verses all the same. Inasmuch as the Lord is smaller than the atom and bigger than the unlimited sky. Such is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, simply by reading it every day, you can go back to Godhead. That is the potency. Yeah. Text 45. Narada praha munaye sarasvatyastate nirpa dhyayate brahma paramam vyasayamita tejase. In succession, O king, this great sage Narada instructed Srimad Bhagavatam onto the unlimitedly powerful Vyasadeva, who meditated in devotional service upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, on the bank of the river Saraswati. So again, it's connecting back to the beginning, no? Yeah. And Prabhupada quotes the first canto again to describe this meeting. So, to us, the second last paragraph, Prabhupada explains, when Vyasadeva fixed his mind in meditation, he did it in bhakti yoga trance and actually saw the Supreme Person with Maya, the illusory energy, in contraposition, not in equal position, but in a lower position. So he could see that. So Vyasadeva saw it, and therefore he describes the Bhagavatam after that. Text 46. Yat utaham tvaya pristo vairajar purushadidam yatasid tad upakhyaste prashnan anyam cha krishnasaha. O king, your questions as to how the universe became manifested from the gigantic form of the Personality of Godhead, as well as other questions, I shall answer in detail by explanation of the four verses already mentioned. So many questions he asked in chapter 8. So now, one by one, Sukadeva Goswami is answering them through different ways. Sometime by giving example, sometime by citing the Lord's version, as in this case. In the purport, Prabhupada says, so Prabhupada says, the Vedic knowledge and therefore all questions that can be humanly possible regarding the universal affairs beginning from its creation are all answered in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, all the things that we want to know is answered in the Bhagavatam. We don't have to look elsewhere. Then he continues the 10 divisions of Srimad Bhagavatam, as explained by the great speaker Srila Sukadeva Goswami, are the limitation of all questions, and intelligent persons will derive all intellectual benefits from them by proper utilization. Everything has a reason, and how it used must be connected to the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, we don't make any understanding from it. Thus end the Bhakti Vedanta purports of the second canto, 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Answers by Citing the Lord's Version. So now from chapter 10, you can see how this Sukadeva Goswami is going to answer. Everything you need to know is in the Bhagavatam. Or, as the chapter title says, Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. Or sometimes people say, you just say Krishna. The answer is Krishna. But which part of Krishna? So text 1. Sri Shuka Vacha.
Sri Shuka Vacha.
Atra Sarga Visargascha.
Atra Sarga Visargascha.
Stanam Poshanam Utaya.
Stanam Poshanam Utaya.
Manvantara Shanukatha. Nirodho Muktir Ashraya. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 10 divisions of statements regarding the following: the creation of the universe, sub-creation, planetary systems, protection by the Lord, the creative impetus, the change of Manus, the science of God, returning home, back to Godhead, liberation, and the summum bonum. These are the 10 topics.
Index is here.
So, you should know these 10 divisions. Sarga, Visarga, Poshanam, all those things. You should know them. Stanam, Poshanam. Because these are the topics that will be discussed many times in the Bhagavatam. Different ways will be discussed. Text 2. Dashamasya Vishuddhyartham.
Dashamasya Vishuddhyartham.
Navanam iha lakshanam.
Navanam iha lakshanam.
Varnayanti mahatmana.
Varnayanti mahatmana.
Srutenartena chanjasa.
Srutenartena.
Translation: to isolate the transcendence of the summum bonum, the symptoms of the rest are described sometimes by Vedic inference, sometimes by direct explanation, and sometimes by summary explanations given by the great sages. Text 3. Bhuta matrendriya diyam janma sarga udharita brahmano guna vaisamya nisarga purusha smritaha. The elementary creation of 16 items of matter, namely the five elements, fire, water, land, air and sky, sound, form, taste, smell, touch, and the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, and mind is known as sarga, whereas subsequent resultant interaction of the modes of material nature is called visarga. So sarga is the part that the Lord does it, okay, and the visarga is the part where Brahma does it. So all the ingredients are there. Even smell, touch, all elements. Eyes, ears, all elements. So when Brahma wants to create, he'll create, oh, this living entity needs these eyes, this type of nose. It's like a prototyping or template. So that's how he does it. And what kind of potency that is, we do not know, but we can read and see how it is. He is using that potency, very powerful, where he creates your body. All our body is based on some prototype. And this is how we are living in this material world. So different material world will have slightly different requirements, subtle bodies and so on. He creates that. Demigod body, Rakshasa body, all kinds of different, Gandharvas, everything. Everything he is the one who is creating it. But the elements are all done already. It's all done. The Lord already gave him everything. Sometimes you see children, like the girls, they play with the paper cut and then they put different dresses, cookie cutters or whatever, different hair they stick on and keep changing it, right? Like that. So the same thing, Brahma is doing that. So all these things that you think those toys we form, no, these are already existing in the higher level. We just make it into a game or whatever. So you can see, we have to know these things properly, otherwise we don't understand how creation took place and we think it's just some mythological idea. But Brahma is breaking it down to teach Narada exactly how this is done. So we can learn, oh, so we need these elements, and then you can expand it. These are all potency element like that.
But it's like an actual eye or
element? Elemental.
How you explain that?
Yes. This is why you have the Virat Rupa Virat also. Like that. And these eyes can only work after the expansion of Paramatma. Okay. So with all of them. So when the Lord sees, we see. So later on you'll read these things as we go on. Yeah, you can say blueprint or whatever.
Like a classic instance.
Yeah, that's what.
So the demigods, then they enter, and until the Paramatma enters, it doesn't come up.
No. Yeah. Paramatma must enter, then they come up and everyone takes, the demigods also. Now remember, when the five elements are covering the universe, there are demigods there also at that time. But these are different type of demigods also.
They are praying.
Yeah, they are praying to the Lord, to Garbha, Dakshaya, Vishnu to come in. So these are prototypes. From them, the other demigods are created.
And because later I have also read that when the universe is formed and these elements are different, Garbha, Dakshaya, and Vishnu enters with these elements into each universe.
Yes.
So he enters into class.
Yeah, he brings the Mahatattva into it, and coverings and everything form as with the jivas. He brings the jivas in.
Yes.
So it's good to know this. So when people talk about what is our idea of creation, we can give them breakdown. Now, if you think about it, why would someone write like that? Right? Why would, even if they want to make up a story, why they have to be so detailed about it? Right? The scientists cannot or will not accept this, but if you think about it, why break it down so fine and detailed? And also calculation of time in the third canto. How is it calculated? Is the movement of the sun from one atom to the next atom. And then combination of two atoms, then six atoms like that. So you get different levels of time. So it's too detailed to be just said it's mythology. It's not mythology. You can see it's very scientific.
Vaisheshikarna is going to that detail. Vaisheshika
philosophy. Yeah, but the point is outside people don't accept our understanding. And you can see for yourself, even for ordinary thing, why is it too detailed? So that means it's not made up. In one sense, we can simply by reading, we can see it's not made up. Okay, text 4. Sthitir Vaikuntha Vijaya Poshanam Tad Anugraha Manvantarani Saddharma Utaya Karma Vasanaha. Translation: the right situation for the living entities is to obey the laws of the Lord and thus be in perfect peace of mind under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Manus and their laws are meant to give right direction in life. The impetus for activity is the desire for fruitive work. So all these things go in cycle also. Each cycle, these things come again. The living entities want to do something, and then they are given the rules from Manu. The Lord Brahma gives it to his sons and so on, and Manu then compiles for each time these human beings are created, how to follow the rules properly, like that. Okay. So this creation is maintained by the three guna avatars. Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva. Yeah? Right. If you read the Bhagavatam, it's very clear how they are coming from, who, from where they are coming from. From Garbhadaksha, Brahma is created. From Brahma, Shiva is then created. And then from the Vishnu himself, that's another expansion, Vishnu in the mode of goodness. But a lot of people in different groups who don't want to believe this, they write their own Bhagavatam and so on. Where they say that originally before Mahavishnu, there was actually Lord Shiva.
There are Bhagavatam.
People write their own. People write and then they follow and they say this is the right one. And then they say from half of Shiva, then Mahavishnu came.
But one way it's correct, right? Because Shambhu is already there.
Yeah, but that is not the right understanding.
So, no, so Lord Shiva as a
Sambhu
is already there before
Mahavishnu. No. It's only when the Lord glances, then he comes.
But then he comes in the material, but he is always there in the spiritual world with Kailash.
Yeah, that's different though.
Yes.
But he is not from him. You're not listening. Not from him, Vishnu is coming. No.
No.
Yeah, that is what people are saying. But he, Sambhu is also a creation or expansion of Lord. Yeah.
Sadashiva.
Yeah, we are talking about Shiva, not Sadashiva. So in the last paragraph, in the middle of the last paragraph, Prabhupada says, the directive scriptures made by the Manus in different ages and millenniums are called Saddharma, good guidance for human beings. So it's called Manu Samhita and things like that. Who should take advantage of all the revealed scriptures for their own interests, to make life successful, termination. So, the goal of life must be there. That means we want to go back to Godhead. The scriptures allow us to understand how to use this particular life in the service of Krishna, so I can go back to Godhead. So, a couple of lines down, Prabhupada continues, the word Saddharma is significant in this connection. Saddharma, a duty performed for going back to Godhead, and thus becoming his unalloyed devotee, is the only pious activity. So that is what we are supposed to do. All others may pretend to be pious, but actually they are not pious. Okay, so any other activities may be important, but they are not sat dharma actually. The real dharma is to practice to go back to Godhead. Text 5. Avataranucharitam Harescashanuvartinam Humsam Misha Kata Prokta Nana Kyano Pabrimhitaha. The science of God describes the incarnations of the personality of Godhead and his different activities together with the activities of his great devotees. So these are more of the topics that will be discussed. So in the last, second last sentence, Srila Prabhupada says, Srimad Bhagavatam offers such transcendental topics a lot in relationship with great devotees. And therefore we should hear such things for our own benefit. Text 6. Yeah.
You talk about the directive scriptures made by Manu. So those are applicable to only the universe.
Particular universe, yeah.
Not
Vaikuntha. No. Not Vaikuntha.
The universes which created
Manu. The Manu for that period. Yeah. There are different Manus. There are 7 Manus in the day and they write this scripture for the living entities in this planetary system.
Is it 7 or 4 days?
In a day, 7. And 7 in night. Text 6. Nirodoshanushayanam Atmana Saha Shakti Bhi Muktir Hitvanyata Rupam Swarupena Vyavastiti. The merging of the living entity along with his conditional living tendency with the mystic lying down of the Mahavishnu is called the winding up of the cosmic manifestation. Liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after he gives up the changeable, gross and subtle material bodies. So this one talks about the end, the annihilation part. So Prabhupada says there are 2 types of living entities. One is the liberated entities, they are known as Nitya Muktas, and the other one is conditioned, known as Nitya Baddhas. Okay? Not Siddhas. Siddhas and Muktas are the same. Okay. And he says one facility that is given for them, there's 2 kinds of facility. One facility is that the conditioned soul can act according to his tendency to lord it over the cosmic manifestation. And the other facility gives the conditioned soul a chance to come back to Godhead. So there's 2 facilities given to the conditioned souls. You want to enjoy the material world? Yes, this is facility. You want to go back to Godhead? This is also a facility. So we have both. Choice is there. We can take both. Yeah.
So in the spiritual world, the moment the thought comes into picture that you want to enjoy away from Lord, we land here. But the moment thought comes over here that I want to serve the Lord, why we don't get to go back? Once you come in.
It's sin. You committed a sin. That means your consciousness is something wrong. So you need to correct the consciousness. But you're not pure in your thinking. So the thought you are thinking is, oh, I want to go back. But you're not really want to go back because you still want to enjoy here. Serious game. Yeah.
Yeah, it just takes maybe little time to commit.
And you pay. That's a good answer also. You can steal something from a store, but the jail punishment may be long.
So by the time the thought is mature, it takes a while for the thought to be mature.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so it's not that. I mean this is all how people think in the material world, you know. I thought I came back, so why? The thing is not just they thought in the spiritual world. It wasn't just only a thought. They really want to...
Serious.
That's why.
And also, as we discussed so many times, it's Lord's mercy, right?
Yeah.
It's not like what we want.
Yeah, it's His mercy to retrain our consciousness. Remember we read early on that this is a chance for us to revive our consciousness. So, few lines down, Prabhupada writes, the conditioned souls are given a chance to revive their original status of life with the help of revealed scriptures, so mercifully compiled by the Lord in His different incarnations. Reading or hearing of such transcendental literatures helps one become liberated even in the conditional state of material existence. So therefore it's very important to read daily and hear daily. All the Vedic literatures aim at devotional service to the personality of God here. If you read daily and hear daily, you will do service. You will do service. But if you don't do this thing, very hard to do service. The impetus to do service won't be there.
Winding up this manifestation, it says like Lord does it, but actually the destruction part Shiva takes, right?
Yeah, at the end of this universe, Lord Shiva is empowered by the Lord to destroy this universe. Then all the living entity goes back to Mahavishnu when he is breathing in again. So goes back into him. Yeah. Until the next time he wants to create again. Text 7. Abhasascha nirodascha yatosti adhyavashiyate sa ashraya param brahma paramatmeti sabdyate. The Supreme One, who is celebrated as the Supreme Being or the Supreme Soul, is the supreme source of the cosmic manifestation as well as its reservoir and winding up. Thus He is the supreme fountainhead, the absolute truth. Sasra, yeah, shelter of everything. So basically if you look at it, in this particular verse it appears that He, the Paramatma, is being emphasized here. But actually it's the same person, Krishna. So, Prabhupada writes in the last sentence or second last sentence, he says, the last word is Krishna. Okay, whatever it is, whether it's this person, that person, anyone, Narayana, Vishnu, or Bhagavan, or whatever, the last word is Krishna. Okay, I mean, in the first paragraph. Okay, and then after that verse, Krishna Swa Damo Bhagate. Prabhupada says, by general conclusion, Lord Krishna is the ultimate source of all energies. That means all the sages and all, they agree on this principle, that He is the ultimate source of all energies. And in the first canto, now He gives a summary of all the different cantos. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this truth, not summary of the canto, but He is talking about this truth, is indicated in the questions and answers by Sutta Goswami and the great sages. First and second chapters of the canto, this is explained. In the third chapter, this subject is more explicit, and in the fourth chapter, even more explicit. So that's in the first canto. In the second canto, the absolute truth as the personality of Godhead is further emphasized, and the indication is the Supreme Lord Krishna. Okay? Supreme Lord is Krishna. And then it is concluded in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the same thing. The Supreme Lord is the ultimate, again. Then Prabhupada continues, the complete subject matter is elaborately explained in the 10th and 11th cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the matter of the changes of Manus or Manvantara, such as the Swayambhuva Manvantara and Chakshusha Manvantara, as they are discussed in the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th and 7th cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna is indicated. That means more of the devotees, their lineage, the kingly dynasty, but they are all connected to Krishna somehow. So, in the 8th canto, the Vaivasvata Manvantara explains the same subject indirectly. And in the 9th canto, the same purport is there. In the 12th canto, the same is further explained, specifically regarding the different incarnations of the Lord. Thus, it is concluded by studying the complete Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Shri Krishna is the ultimate summum bonum or the ultimate source of all energy. So, different degrees of emphasis in the different cantos of Krishna, but it's always the he is there.
So, in my office once, I had Srimad Bhagavatam and one of my colleagues wanted to take a look at it, I gave it to him. Then he kept it for 10 or 12 days. And then I said, what did you, and he said, yes, I read it. I said, what did you understand? Yes, you have to be good to everyone. So, it's not...
Unless you are guided.
There, but it's, Krishna is there, but it's not, he's not visible.
The other thing is, he didn't read the book. He lied to you. He lied to you. That's a standard answer for most Hindus.
No, this is an American. He's
Mormon. Okay. Still, then he didn't read the book. If he had read it, it's so obvious. You read it, Prabhupada has word Krishna, Krishna everywhere, as the Supreme. First thing he will say is, according to you, Krishna is Supreme Lord. Not good to man. Where does Prabhupada say that? Right? So how did he come to that conclusion? He didn't read. Text 8. Yodhyatmiko yam purusha.
Yodhyatmiko yam purusha.
So savyavadi daivika.
So savyavadi daivika.
Yastatro baya vichedda.
Yastatro baya vichedda.
Purusho hi adi bhautika.
Purusho hi adi bhautika.
There's three types of person is described, or the individual is represented in three ways like that. The individual person possessing different instruments of senses is called the adhyatmik person, and the individual controlling the deity of the senses is called adhidevik. The embodiment seen on the eyeballs is called the adhibhautik person. So the adhyatmik person is the jivatma, soul. The adhidevik person is the demigod. And then the adhibhautik is the embodied jiva. Okay. In the purport, after
normally in the kleshas we talk about adi daivik as the external klesha.
Yes.
And so the one-to-one correspondence doesn't seem to be there.
Well, we are not talking about that kleshas. We are not talking about kleshas. So you can't connect like that. Okay. It is the same in one sense and not the same. Adhidevik still talks about the
devatas
who control all the different elements, which is similar. Adhidevika klesha. Then adhibhautika means other living entities, including human beings, right? Adhibhautika. And adhyatmika means the inside, the mind and the soul is suffering based on the mind. So it's if you look carefully, it is the same. The klesha is what you are suffering, but here it's talking about the person. Okay. Alright, in the purport, after the verse, Prabhupada says, each and every individual in the material world is controlled by the higher demigods. For example, we have our senses, but the senses are controlled by superior controlling deities. We cannot see without light, and the supreme controller of light is the sun. And then the next line he says, similarly, all the senses we have are controlled by the superior demigods, who are also as much living entities as we are. But one is empowered while the other is controlled. The controlled living entity is called the adhyatmik person, and the controller is called the adhidevik person. And the embodied person is called adhibhautik person. Now, in the next...
What is
It's same. Yeah. Now, if you, for your question, if you go to the next paragraph, Prabhupada says that which distinguishes the control and control, that is the material body, is called the Adi Bhautik Purusha. Okay? Yeah. Okay? The body is sometimes called Purusha as confirmed in the Vedas in the following hymn, Sava Esa Purusha Anna Rasamayaha. This body is called the Anna Rasa embodiment. This body depends on food.
Annamaya.
The living entity which is embodied does not eat anything, however, because the owner is spirit in essence. Yeah, the soul doesn't eat. The body needs the replacement energy and so on. The soul doesn't eat.
That is
all. Yeah. So you can see how they are all dependent on each, one way or the other. The Adi Devik is dependent and interdependent actually on the Adi Bhautik and the Adi Atmik. So therefore they are all not, they, each of them actually cannot offer the shelter to the other one, because we are embodied by the body. So the body can't give us shelter actually, in truth speaking. Yeah? Separate. Text 9. So it's going to talk about the shelter. Ekam ekatara bhave,
ekam ekatara bhave,
yada no pala bhamahe,
yada no pala bhamahe,
tritayam tatra yoveda,
tritayam tatra yoveda,
sa atma swasrayashrayaha,
sa atma swasrayashrayaha,
shelter of the shelter. All three of the above mentioned stages of different living entities are interdependent. In the absence of one, another is not understood. But the Supreme Being, who sees every one of them as the shelter of the shelter, is independent of all, and therefore he is the supreme shelter. So now you know who is the real shelter, because he is not dependent on anybody. Whereas everyone else is dependent on something or the other. So Prabhupada explains this in the purport. There are innumerable living entities, one dependent on the other in the relationship of the control and the controller. Then he gives this example of the sun. For example, the sun controls the power of our vision. We can see the sun because the sun has its body, and the sunlight is useful only because we have eyes. Without our having eyes, the sunlight is useless. And without sunlight, the eyes are useless. So it's interdependent. Thus they are interdependent and none of them is independent. Therefore, the natural question arises concerning who made them interdependent. So this is also like in the case of Darwin's thing, you know. How these things become dependent on one another, how did it happen? They talk about evolution and so on, but you can see somebody made it connect together. The one who has made such relationship of interdependence must be ultimately completely independent. As stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the ultimate source of all interdependent objectives is the complete independent subject. This ultimate source of all interdependence is the Supreme Truth or Paramatma, the Super Soul, who is not dependent on anything else. He is Swasrasrayaha. He is only dependent on his self, and thus he is the supreme shelter of everything. So this one shows that we depend on him. Without him we cannot actually exist. So few lines down, he says the individual is under the clutches of illusory energy, and therefore although qualitatively one with the super soul, he is under the illusion of identifying himself with matter. So because we are very minute, we tend to identify with matter. And to get out of this illusory conception of factual life, the individual soul has to depend on the super soul. That's the importance. We have to depend. So in our process of devotional life, we must try to understand our relationship with Krishna or depend on Krishna for everything. not depend on ourselves. Right? We have a tendency to think, oh, I've done this, it's okay. Right? So even chanting also, we need the Lord's mercy to chant. Not that we can chant. We have to ask the Lord, please allow me to chant your holy name purely. So that is the, for me at least, it's very interesting this. Okay, then continuing the last paragraph. The propaganda of identity of cosmic consciousness with the consciousness of the individual living entities is completely misleading. Now this is Mayavadi. Because even such a person or individual soul as Arjuna could not remember his past deeds, although he is always with the Lord. And what can the tiny ordinary man falsely claiming to be one with the cosmic consciousness know about his past, present and future?
Actually, some people use this in a very scientific way. Yes, there is a global consciousness. Yeah. They are Mayavadis, but they pretend to be scientists.
Yes. Well, most scientists are Mayavadis also. So you can see the independence of the Lord from the Jiva and other living entities. But whereas the others depend, it's the same, like Nitya Nitya Nana, Chaitana Chaitana Nana, the same principles here. Text 10. Purushondam vinirbidya yada sausa vinirgataha atmano yanam anvichan apo shakshi suchi suchi. After separating the different universes, the gigantic universal form of Lord Mahavishnu, which came out of the causal ocean, the place of appearance for the first Purusha avatara, entered into each of the separate universes desiring to lie on the created transcendental water, Garbhodaka. This talks about how he creates the universe and then goes into each universe as Garbhodakashaya Vishnu. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, after analysis of the living entities and the Supreme Lord, Paramatma, the independent source of all other living beings, Srila Sukadeva Goswami is now presenting the prime necessity for devotional service to the Lord, which is the only occupational business of all living entities. So what verse is that? The occupational? No. The Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, and all his plenary portions and extensions of plenary portions are non-different from one another, and thus the supreme independence is in each and every one of them. This is the expansion of the Lord. They have the independence. In order to prove this, Shukadeva Goswami, as promised to King Parikshit, describes herein the independence of the Purusha Avatara personality of Godhead. What are the three Purusha Avatars?
Karnodakshaya,
Rupodakshaya, Chirudakshaya. Yeah. Oh, another name? Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Paramatma. Oh, Shirodakshya. Even in the sphere of material creation, such activities of the Lord are also transcendental and therefore they are also leela or pastimes of the Absolute Lord. So they are transcendental. We shouldn't separate. Such pastimes of the Lord are very conducive to the hearers for self-realization in the field of devotional service. Some may argue, why not then relish the transcendental leela of the Lord as exhibited in the land of Mathura and Vrindavan, which are sweeter than anything in the world. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur replies that the pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan are meant to be relished by advanced devotees of the Lord. Right? So we can't relish those things. But we can hear them from advanced devotees like Srila Prabhupada. Neophyte devotees will misunderstand such supreme transcendental activities of the Lord, and therefore the Lord's pastimes in the material sphere related to creation, maintenance, destruction are verily relishable by the prakrita or mundane devotees of the Lord. So we have to start to enjoy these things. this creation part. We don't want Kriti here, it's too technical, we say. But we have to keep reading this thing. You will find that the purports in the first and second canto are more, you know, Prabhupada puts more, a lot of points about trying to understand our position in relation to Krishna and practicing it. More so in the first two cantos, I find, at least. So independently, these two books is enough for us, first and second canto. We don't need to read the other. Plus, of course, if you want to read about this pastime, you read Krishna book. It doesn't mean you can't go and read the other cantos, but the main thing is we need to come, rise above. We cannot remain in the same level of a new devotee. You know? We have to start controlling our senses and then come to the stage of anartha nivritti. Okay? So text 11. Tasvat siddhva sristasu sahasram parivatsaran tena narayano nama yad apa purushodbhavaha. That Supreme Person is not impersonal and therefore is distinctly a nara or person. Therefore, the transcendental water created from the Supreme Nara is known as Nara. And because he lies down on that water, he is known as Narayana. So now you have the definition of his name. Alright, text 12. Dravyam karma cha kalascha.
Dravyam karma cha kalascha.
Swabhavo jiva eva cha.
Swabhavo jiva eva cha.
Yat anugrahata shanti.
Yat anugrahata shanti.
Na shanti yat upekshaya.
Na shanti yat upekshaya.
One should definitely know that all material ingredients, activities, time and modes, and the living entities who are meant to enjoy them all exist by his mercy only, and as soon as he does not care for them, everything becomes non-existent. Because we want to enjoy, he created this thing. Now if he doesn't care for us, we won't get this thing. So we have to know our position in relation to the Supreme Lord. We are completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Completely. This verse should make very clear. You know, it's only by His mercy we are existing, enjoying all this thing. Not otherwise. Text 13. Eko nana tvam anvichan.
Eko nana tvam anvichan.
Yogatalpa samuttita.
Yogatalpa samuttita.
Viryam hiranmayam devo.
Viryam hiranmayam devo.
Mayaya vyashrijatrida.
Mayaya vyashrijatrida.
The Lord, while lying on his bed of mystic slumber, generated the seminal symbol, golden in hue, through external energy out of his desire to manifest varieties of living entities from himself alone. So he again describes the creation aspect. Text 13.
Is Mahavishnu or Gadadhara?
Which Vishnu do you think it is? It's Mahavishnu still, no? He's the one who absorbs everything and now he's to create. He's glancing, no? in the last paragraph, or maybe in the middle paragraph, Prabhupada writes, the whole creation and creative energies are non-different, different simultaneously. Because everything is an emanation from Him, the Mahavishnu or Mahasamasti, nothing of the cosmic energies is different from Him, but all such expended energies have specific functions and display as designed by the Lord. And therefore they are simultaneously different from Him, from the Lord. The living entities are also similar energy, marginal potential of the Lord, and thus they are simultaneously one with and different from Him. At the stage of non-manifestation, the living energies remain potent in the Lord. And when they are let loose in the cosmic manifestation, they are exhibited differently in terms of different desires under the modes of nature. Such differential manifestations of the living energies are conditional states of the living entities. The liberated living entities, however, in the Sanatana, eternal manifestation, are unconditionally surrendered souls, and therefore they are not subject to the conditions of creation and annihilation. That means Vaikuntha, they are always living permanently, enjoying with the Lord. Whereas for us, there's always this cycle of creation and destruction. So this creation takes place by the glance of the Lord from His bedstead of mystic slumber. Okay? And thus all the universe in the Lord of Universe, Brahma, again and again manifested and annihilated. Now, it is said that His... it's 1 second. One twelfth of a second. 1 second. The whole creation of Maha... I'm trying to see. It's like one eye blink, I think, of the Lord.
Is it one breath or the eye blink?
No. For the whole thing to take place, it's breath in and out.
It's a long blink.
It's a long blink. I mean, it's again, the whole thing is a matter of time dilation on one sense with the other. Okay, it's half a second for Vishnu.
One excelling.
No, the whole creation. The whole creation, then destruction is half a second. Exhale and inhale. Yeah.
So, if we do devotional service for that period properly, Lord takes us back.
Yes. Yes.
In His context, He's taking us back to the years.
So that you thought you went back.
So from there, exactly. So it would appear to be a short period from His point of view, but actually even that short period is a lot for Him. Separation.
To wait.
So that is His mercy on us, but we are so proud. We don't want to go back. Yeah, so half a second.
It's such a big deal for us.
Yeah.
Because
you can
from Lord Mahavishnu perspective, from that
time scale. Yeah, from Lord Mahavishnu, it's half a second for the entire total creation to start and to annihilate completely. Go back to Mahavishnu. Half a second.
That means His breathing is faster than His blinking.
Whatever. That I do not know. You can go and figure out. Text 14. Adidevam atadhyatmam
Adibhutam
iti Prabhu Ataikam Paurusham Viryam Trida Vidyata Tachrinu. Just hear from me how the potency of His Lordship divides one into three, called the controlling entities, the controlled entities, and the material bodies in the manner mentioned above. Text 15. From the sky, situated within the transcendental body of the manifesting Mahavishnu, sense energy, mental force and bodily strength are all generated, as well as the sum total of the fountainhead of the total living force. Text 16. Anu prananti yam prana,
anu prananti yam prana,
pranantam sarvajantushu,
pranantam sarvajantushu,
apanantam apananti,
apanantam apananti,
naradevam ivanugaha,
naradevam ivanugaha.
As the followers of a king follow their lord, similarly when the total energy is in motion, all other living entities move. And when the total energy stops endeavoring, all other living entities stop sensual activities. So again, about how whole thing manifests and then stops when it's all withdrawn. So it is all dependent on the Mahavishnu or the Lord. When he wants, then this thing starts and he says, okay, enough.
So two terms were used here, prana apana, but we also see that the soul is suspended in this prana apana va udana, but there's no relationship.
Here the prana means senses. Okay. Yeah. Prana ha. Prana. And I don't know how the Sanskrit terms are used in this context. Let's see. Thanks. Next, this is text 16, right? Okay. Let me see if I can find what the term you wanted. No, they don't describe the as blinking. They just say senses are known as prana. Text 17. Pranena kshipata shudrid.
Pranena kshipata shudrid.
Antara jayate vibhu.
Antara jayate vibhu.
Pipasato jaksatascha.
Pipasato jaksatascha.
Pranmukam nirabhidyata.
Pranmukam nirabhidyata.
The living force, being agitated by the Virat Purusha, generated hunger and thirst, and when he desired to drink and eat, the mouth opened. Prabhupada says, the process by which all living beings in the womb of the mother develop their sense organs and sense perceptions appear to follow the same principles in the case of the Virat Purusha, the sum total of all living entities. Therefore, the supreme cause of all generation is not impersonal or without desire. The desires for all kinds of sense perception and sense organs exist in the supreme, and thus they take place in the individual persons. So just like you can see because the Lord sees, not because we see, you know, the Lord sees.
So let's come to the personalism. People ask like impersonal and personalism. So we are seeing because the Lord sees, that's why we can see.
Yeah. It's true. He sees first as the Paramatma, he sees first, then you see.
I was thinking about the Nirata.
Oh. What understanding they have? How can they answer that? They can't answer. They can't answer that.
Okay.
So Prabhupada says this example applies to all other sense organs also. You want to see, then the eyes open and mouth, ear, like that.
So when people eat nonsense, that means that the Supreme or the Virat Purusha is also in a negative state.
Huh?
If people eat some nonsense, I mean, he's the sum total of all the mouths.
Yeah, that means the our creation is based on his.
As a template.
Yeah, like template or yeah, like that. Yeah. So we also have mouth because he has mouth. But it's not that we eat nonsense and he suffers. Like, no, it doesn't work. Like, no. Yeah. That's not what it means like that. Because he has mouth, we also have mouth. Because he has eyes, we have eyes. Basically, we are a very poor copy of Krishna, you know. We want to enjoy like Krishna. So we got that form like Krishna and the gopis, cowherd boys. And but look at us, you know, very poor copy. Weak and poor copy. All right, I think we'll stop here. We'll continue tomorrow, text 18. All right. Chala Prabhupada ki jai.